This is WBAA News. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Indiana communities are debating the future of their historic buildings as state and local leaders push for economic development and city expansion. In the first of a three-part series, WBAA's Taylor Haggerty reports on how small towns are struggling to maintain these structures in the face of sometimes confusing and conflicting rules and regulations.
These bays, we had bays here, and then the police department was over on here, and actually, you can kind of see...
Monticello's old city hall and fire department used to be the center of the community.
Mayor's office was there, the water department, clerk treasurer's office.
The station was built in 1904, and it's one of just a handful of structures that survived a tornado in the 1970s. But the fire department recently moved to new facilities, and now city leaders are wondering what to do with the historic structure, which currently houses construction supplies for other projects. But it's not exactly ready for move-in. It needs a lot of repairs.
You got a leak in here or something.
No.
I don't know what that's all about, boss.
Monticello officials have issued three requests for proposals. The first two, no responses. Fire Chief Galen Logan says they've at least given a few tours this time around. Anyone buying the property would be taking on a pretty expensive project, but Logan says there aren't a lot of these historic buildings left in Monticello, which might tip the scales in favor of preservation over demolition.
I mean, I don't think you can save every building, and sometimes that's not possible, but like I said, after the tornado, we lost so many historic buildings that we don't have that option or luxury of saying, well, we can save these and maybe tear these down.
The struggle to preserve historic buildings isn't unique to Monticello. In Indiana, state funding is primarily focused on the exterior and facade of a building, leaving towns and counties to finance expensive structural fixes, usually by soliciting private donations. Tipton County is facing that challenge now as leaders there try to determine the future of the soon-to-be former county jail. The building is still housing inmates right now, but County Commissioner Jim Mullins says a new facility will open in January.
And as a result of that, everybody expecting that sooner or later the new jail was going to be built, they had quit putting money into the old jail and repairs. So it has continued to deteriorate.
Unlike Monticello's former city hall, the Tipton County Jail is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. It's the only operating jail with an attached sheriff's residence in the state, according to the local historical society. But Indiana Landmarks Community Preservation Specialist Sam Burgess says that doesn't mean it's safe from demolition.
You know, National Register designation does not really impose any kind of protection on historic buildings, and that's an issue that's become abundantly clear with the situation surrounding the old jail and sheriff's residence.
Because the building is on the National Register, any rehab has to maintain its historic character, which means all of the materials used have to be nearly identical. Mullins says the county would have to prove maintenance is economically unfeasible to have it removed from the National Register. But Burgess says being listed on the register does have some benefits, as state grants require a property be deemed historic by the state or a nation entity.
And the fact that the building in question is already listed in the National Register of Historic Places puts it in a very good position to compete for those funds and also other funds, depending on how it may be reused.
But Burgess says federal income tax incentives only offset 20% of total rehabilitation costs for historic buildings owned for income-producing properties. If it were used to meet a need, like low-income or senior housing, it could earn more tax credits. Even so, he says these projects often seek private investment, too. A study in 2014 estimated it had cost $1.2 million to repair the Tipton Jail, and that cost has only increased as the building has continued to deteriorate. But the choice to raise or refurbish is thorny. Demolishing the building may be cheaper in the long run, but at the cost of losing history. Renovation, though, can be an ongoing cost and still requires someone to oversee the structure going forward. Tipton County Commissioner Jim Mullins says the county has considered using the jail for document storage or as a home for the historical society.
While there's some people that would like us to commit that we're going to do that, we've got to do the studies and we've got to make what makes the most economic sense to the taxpayers in the county.
The county does have an income tax that can be put toward the repurposing of the old jail or its demolition. For WBAA News, I'm Taylor Haggerty.
This is WBAA News. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. For towns that have an overabundance of older buildings and landmarks, history can be a source of extra income, but only if those are maintained over time. If buildings have fallen into disrepair, returning them to a usable state can be a difficult task, even if history is a cornerstone of that community. It's helpful to have procedures governing historic buildings, as well as a sizable population to lure developers. In part two of her series on historic preservation, WBAA's Taylor Haggerty reports on two main factors guiding preservation: market forces and government regulation.
Walking through the small town of Attica, just west of Lafayette, it's clear the area has a lot of history. There's an old-timey theater, storefronts with bright, colorful paint jobs, and a hotel that's more than 150 years old. But go behind the buildings and it's a different story. Hotel Attica is a point of concern. One of the wings has fallen off, leaving hallways and rooms completely exposed.
Well, they have owners. They bought it again at a tax sale. It's more than they financially could cover, so they decided to just abandon it.
That's Bob Shepard, Attica's former mayor. Hotel Attica was named to Indiana Landmark's 10 most endangered list this year, along with whole blocks of the downtown area. The community pushed to include Hotel Attica on the list of endangered landmarks to encourage restoration efforts. But Shepard says listing the entire downtown caused concern.
You know, there's mixed feelings, you know. Are you saying we're that bad? No. Certain buildings are, but as far as the whole downtown, there's a lot of good things.
Tommy Kleckner, director of Indiana Landmark's Western Regional Office, says the list isn't calling out the area for disrepair. It's encouraging others to get involved in restoring it.
Bringing focus to the entire downtown, we felt was going to have a broader beneficial impact.
The organization does feasibility studies to determine the likelihood of successful rehabilitation, as well as the projected cost. A few buildings have been successfully restored or maintained, including the Devon Theater, whose owners worked with Fountain County Landmarks on a fundraiser to help cover restoration costs. Attica has also received grants from Indiana's Office of Community and Rural Affairs for facade restoration and landscaping, but not for rebuilding the hotel. An OCRA spokeswoman says cities can trade on their historic character, but they're still subject to the laws of economics. Shepard agrees.
One of our biggest problems, I think, is selling ourselves.
For a developer to buy a building, there has to be some sense they'll make their investment back. For many developers, a small town like Attica is a bigger risk than a more metropolitan area. Since Attica's market is smaller, there's likely to be less financial return, so a smaller initial investment is all the more appealing. Indiana Landmarks officials say Attica would benefit from local rules encouraging maintenance, but those can be restrictive. Property owners have to submit proposals to make changes to their buildings, which the commission can then approve or deny, and that sometimes stops renovation from happening. Lafayette has such a historic preservation ordinance. Assistant Director of Economic Development John Collier says most property owners understand that there are rules before they move in.
Folks in the downtown who own businesses or properties there are typically aware of the fact that they're in a local district, and they're aware that they have to go through this review process.
Some rules are harder to bend than others, and Collier says the commission is more likely to help property owners draft a plan for replacing original materials than allowing the substitution of new ones. There are also 10 national historic districts in Lafayette, which often overlap with the local ones. Collier says all of the attention to history has brought economic revitalization to Lafayette.
And honestly, I think if you look at the downtown and compare it to how it looked before 1993 compared to what it looks like today, I think it's obvious the positive impact that the local historic district status has had.
That's something Attica would like to emulate. But even if a benefactor wants to invest, it's still a small town with an aging population. And the real estate market is driven more by location than by history. For WBAA News, I'm Taylor Haggerty.
This is WBAA News. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. The regulations and the restrictions governing historic preservation can maintain a sense of place within a community, but they also present challenges that can make it harder to save some buildings. In the third and final part of her series on historic preservation, WBAA's Taylor Haggerty reports on some of the complications in the process and how those might be resolved.
Many of the communities debating the merits of preservation are struggling with the same question. What's the best way to use an older building once it's stopped serving its initial purpose? Indiana University architecture professor Marlene Newman says changing the interior and the purpose of a historic building, a process known as adaptive reuse, can provide a way to save it and to even make a profit in the future.
And the best adaptive reuse project allows structures to retain their historic integrity while meeting modern needs for new occupants and perhaps a different function.
So rather than just turning the soon-to-be-disused Tipton County Jail into a museum, for example, it could become apartments or a restaurant. It's a difficult task, particularly because there are so many restrictions. But there are ways to make the process easier for anyone who hopes to invest in historic properties. To start off, communities can be proactive in preserving the structures they already have through the creation of local regulations. Those guidelines will enforce maintenance of historic structures, preventing expensive repairs later on. Members of the Tipton County Historical Society, including Executive Director Jill Kernut-Howerton and Vice President Gay Matchett, have been pushing for a local historic district for years.
We're looking at Main Street from right up here at, the Courthouse Square. This whole block here, all the way down to the depot.
Driving around town, they point out many landmarks have already undergone changes. Tipton's original brick roads are covered by pavement, portions of the jail's original limestone have been chiseled away, and an old historic church has been torn down, leaving just a spire on a street corner. Kernut Howerton says those changes can't be undone.
Will you be able to ever put that back and look just like that? It'd take a miracle. Somebody would have to be a really good artist, so from what I have seen.
Whether preservation is more fiscally responsible than demolition is often decided on a case-by-case basis and impacted by regulations on the building, such as the National Register's requirements for using period-correct materials when restoring a building. Loosening those restrictions, for instance, allowing Tipton County to replace the jail's leaking roof with something other than traditional slate tiles, might make preservation more appealing and lower its cost. IU's Marlene Newman argues saving an older building is usually the better option.
You have an existing facade, you have existing building walls, the structure is existing, the utility hookups are existing, there are no demolition costs.
But while renovating an older building might cost less than constructing a new one, there is often more maintenance involved, and those costs can add up. Lafayette Historic Preservation Commission member Dan Kaiser says historic properties in his city are more expensive now.
The opportunity where you used to could go out and maybe buy a house for $10,000 and put some sweat equity into it and fix it up and have a nice little old house, those properties aren't as much available as they used to be.
And grant funding for preservation projects is tightly regulated in the state, available only to income-producing properties and nonprofits. It also isn't allowed to pay for interior structural repairs, and applicants have to prove the property will remain with its current owners for at least 5 years. Mary Shaw, project manager for Indiana's Office of Community and Rural Affairs, says the office is trying to simplify the process so more historic landmarks can be preserved.
In Indiana, a lot of our smaller communities are known for their historic charm, their historic character. And so if these buildings are lost, the whole character of the community suffers.
So in the end, communities have a fair amount of control in their historic preservation and destiny, as long as they have a flexible legal backbone and enough people and money to be sustainable. But history alone can't save a town, and it's possible that in the future, places like Attica could face a choice similar to what's currently on the table for some historic structures: improve or be demolished. For WBAA News, I'm Taylor Haggerty.